personal safety nets, getting ready for life's inevitable changes and challenges, by Dr. John W. Gibson and Judy Piggott.
Introduction. This is a book about building community. We believe that one important form community can take is that of a safety net. Many social service agencies and nonprofit organizations provide valuable community safety nets. But we believe it's equally valuable for each of us to intentionally create a personal safety net made up of those resources and individuals who strengthen our lives. What does it mean to create a personal safety net? It's the process of building caring relationships with people you know want to be there for you. As you build and openly value these relationships, you create a sense of security, knowing you have them there for you and you will be there for them. Together, whenever there's a need, you will form a care share team to address it. There are many ways you can be there for someone else, and they in turn can be there for you. They can simply care about, love, and protect you. They can step in to do for you what you need or want but can't do on your own. Or they can direct you to diverse resources, both practical and emotional, when you need them. Feeling alone or unsupported in a time of need builds fear and anxiety that is damaging on a personal, family, and community level. But the security that having a personal safety net provides reduces fear and anxiety and thereby strengthens individuals, families, and communities. Some people do not have anything in their lives that even remotely resembles a safety net. Others have a very conscious and explicit group of people that they could quickly call upon. Most of us fall somewhere in between these two extremes. Most of us don't think about safety nets until we've taken a fall, when a change or crisis threatens to overwhelm us or someone we love. That's precisely why we've written this book, to encourage you to create a personal safety net before an acute need arises. This book will speak to you whether you're experiencing a life change or crisis, or deciding that you want to help someone who is. As you listen, you'll discover many stories about people with whom we've worked, people we've loved and cared for, people whose stories we've been told. We've changed the names of individuals and certain details to protect their privacy. These stories of real people with real problems will inspire you as you figure out what to do in your own situation. Your challenge is to determine what will work best for you and to make your own decisions. At times, it's hard to know where to begin. You may have doubts, concerns, or uncertainties. Before you take action, you may want to consider seeking a professional assessment and recommendation. This is often time and money well spent. In addition to the many true stories, this book contains tools, examples, knowledge, and hope to help you make the most of your challenge. God willing, your situation and circumstances will be temporary, and you or your loved one will recover. Then you will likely discover that you've developed closer relationships with those who've pitched in, who've become part of your personal safety net, and who've shared this difficult part of your journey. If your injury, illness, disability, or challenge is ongoing, then you may find, as we have, that the challenges, joys, and rewards of forming your personal safety net, complete with a care share team, will lessen the difficulties. So get ready. Ask yourself, is this a book for me? Make a list. Who else might benefit from reading this? And decide, should I read this book with a group and discuss the ideas?
Chapter 1. Understand Personal Safety Nets. Your child gets sick, and you not only can't drive carpool, but you also can't even see how to get to work. an appointment with your boss turns out to be because you've lost your job, a Saturday walk in the woods brings with it a broken leg. In each case, large or small in scope, you could definitely benefit from the help of a few others. Knowing you have plans, systems, and people who will cover your back is what we call a personal safety net. Part of this safety net, a crucial part for most of us, is the personal part. And the folks who step in to do the things we cannot do for ourselves are called the care team or the care share team. Part of personal success is the ability to invite others into your circle, to allow them to help, and to see strength in creating a team. The team is an integral part of a personal safety net.
What is a care share team? A care share team, then, is an organized group of people who purposefully come together to care for someone in need. This intentional family provides for the needs of a family member, a friend, a coworker, or another individual. A care share team could just as easily be called a family of the heart or family of choice, that is, a group of people who are acting as if they were relatives. When you create your own personal safety net, then the members sign up to be sort of like family to you, and you to them. Being part of a care share team enriches the lives of not only the person receiving care, but also those who provide it. Participation is typically voluntary, though by necessity participation may be thrust upon an unwilling family member or may include paid professionals. Each person in the care share team, whether a family member, a friend, a coworker, a church member, a hired professional, a neighbor, an outside volunteer, or, of course, the care receiver or care partner, offers his or her own unique gifts. We intentionally use the term care partner rather than care receiver to emphasize the giving and receiving of care as a partnership. As illustrated powerfully in Mitch Albom's bestseller, Tuesdays with Maury, those on the receiving end of care can give back in many ways. The person receiving care can acknowledge and value that support in a way that makes the most difficult situation better. Or, he could create a living hell for all those who try to help. At the same time, the person giving care can gain knowledge, experience, and compassion, and, with time, become an even better care share team member. The care share team's goal is to create an environment in which team members can perform at their best and complement each other's efforts. Working together, members support, both practically and emotionally, the care partner and one another. This may include visiting, transporting, organizing birthday parties and outings, phone calling, taking care of children, doing light housework, grocery shopping, praying, scheduling, or going to doctor's appointments, listening, touching, and doing anything else the team and care partner agree upon. The team can brainstorm ways to handle unexpected issues, learn from each other's experiences, offer support in maintaining boundaries or setting limits, and keep a sense of humor and love. In situations where there is one primary caregiver, that person often feels alone, overwhelmed, and guilty for not meeting all of the care partner's needs. But when a team comes together in an organized way to meet different needs, then no one feels the burden of shouldering all the care alone. The team significantly lightens the load of the primary caregiver and uncovers what each is willing and able to do. By demonstrating their caring attitude through their presence and actions, team members can encourage their care partner and each other to recognize their own power, to accept themselves and their situation, and to find hope. A high level of trust is likely to develop. All can learn, grow, and deepen connections. Trust builds out of a sense of caring and understanding. Key to this process is carefully listening to the care partner and other team members without judgment. During difficult times, personal and long-standing issues often rear their ugly heads. Care-share teams agree to avoid preaching, changing, or trying to fix their care partner or each other. They meet regularly for planning and mutual support. Coordinating these meetings can be difficult, since presumably, everyone leads busy lives. However, by working together, each team member can make a difference even with limited time. Most find that participation brings satisfaction, blessings, surprises, and rewards.
Nuns to the rescue. A young couple with two small children had separated, leaving the mother to care for the children while entering her medical internship. She fretted over how to care for them with required nights on call. Her family lived far away and was unable to help. Her mother in particular worried about how her daughter and grandchildren would handle this challenge. She and her daughter devised a plan. The young mother went to her church community with an explanation of her problem. Support came from a surprising quarter. Several nuns in the church pooled their available time and skills to form a care share team. Each time the mother was on call, a rotating member of the team would come in and stay with or pick up the children and care for them until their mum came home. With the team's assistance, the mother handled all of her medical responsibilities and the children were lovingly cared for by their care share team. The intern's family gained an extended family, and the community ultimately gained an empathetic medical practitioner.
When is a care share team needed? A care share team is needed whenever you or someone you love encounters a period of time, a situation, a predicament, an accident, or a dilemma that would be made better by enlisting help. In the next story, Tony needed a team because he'd run out of ideas, but not out of problems. Tony calls up a finance-savvy team. For years, Tony had been trying to get his business to run predictably in the black, but the challenges, being in a cyclical market, offering his services at a discount to friends, neglecting to bill for hours worked, and undervaluing his own competencies, kept him from making a profit. A breakthrough came when one of Tony's respected associates suggested he call together several other finance-savvy folks to brainstorm ideas for confronting Tony's business challenges. Over the next few months, Tony addressed the barriers one by one. One associate helped manage the billing, another assisted Tony in drafting responses to requests for discounted work. When it was time to face big questions, the group would meet together and discuss suggestions until they found a solution Tony could live with. His finances took a decided upturn, and a time came when he could help others who were starting out on their own business ventures. These stories demonstrate that the purpose of the care team is to provide for the care partner's health, emotions, psyche, and security. When the whole team stays focused on this purpose, it increases the likelihood that everyone will have a positive feeling about the work. The previous stories also show that care share teams start for many reasons. They can exist for a short time, until someone no longer needs help, or for years.
Paul shares his secret. A few years ago, Paul began to notice his golf game deteriorating on the last few holes. It took time for him to relate this to the pain in his feet. His buddies, all in their late 40s, could comfortably walk 18 holes. Paul began to find excuses not to play. It never occurred to him to tell the guys about his arthritis and its growing impact on his life, or to even suggest renting a cart instead of walking the course. In a way, Paul was fortunate. His wife, Jenny, learned about care share teams and the importance of personal safety nets for hard times when her best friend, Kathy, was diagnosed with breast cancer. She and Kathy had struck up a friendship when their kids started preschool. For years, they had shared carpooling and other child-related activities and events. When Kathy's diagnosis came, Jenny joined her care share team and over time learned through trial and error, as well as talking with other women in similar situations, much about creating a supportive circle of friends. Paul enjoyed the company of a good friend who loved to fly fish. It was when he casually mentioned to Jenny that he might skip their annual fly fishing trip to Montana that she decided to help Paul do something. She knew it was a mistake for him to start cutting out of his life the things he loved most. Jenny asked Paul out for a dinner date, saying she had something important to discuss. He was a little alarmed, but she reassured him it was about something important but good. He relaxed a little. As they talked, Paul forced himself to keep an open mind and listen to Jenny. After all, he had seen how Jenny and her friends had helped Kathy when she needed it. Perhaps he could be open to receiving help too. Even while he admitted to himself that he did need help, he fought the powerful though subtle feelings of fear, vulnerability, shame, and uncertainty. Finally, Paul simply said, "Jenny, you're right. I need help, and I've been scared and denying it." Jenny tearfully leaned over and gave Paul a big kiss, whispering, "One of the many reasons I've loved you all these years is you've got guts, and another is that you'll listen to me." That night, Jenny and Paul composed an email to all their friends. They explained Paul's arthritis and how it was beginning to impact his life. They invited friends to a potluck, where they could all talk about forming a team to support both of them. Today, although Paul's arthritis has grown somewhat worse and he is bothered by pain, he regularly golfs using a golf cart and fly fishes with a floating device. He admits he has grown closer to many of his friends. While Paul and Jenny sometimes fear what lies ahead, they find strength and comfort in knowing they're not alone. Together, they have discovered the unexpected gifts that come from sharing hardship with special friends. As Paul puts it, "Hey, if you want to fly, it's good to have a safety net."
Specific CareShare teams. Whether you're launching a new business, repositioning an existing one onto more solid footing, discovering that you're ill, or going into a divorce, putting a safety net into the equation can ease your feelings of hopelessness, isolation, or fear. But safety nets don't simply happen. Neither do CareShare teams. You'll need to put some thought and work into constructing a team and aligning both people and resources towards your goal, whether it's finding temporary support for a recovery from illness or surgery, assisting a friend through a degenerative disease to her final days, or building lifelong relationships that outlast childcare needs, employment issues, or divorces. "13 years with no sign of stopping." 13 years ago, Theo and Eve and their friends, Tina and Susan, were co-workers getting to know one another. One by one, they left their parent company for various reasons, yet stayed in touch. When Theo and Eve moved to a new home, they invited their friends for a housewarming party. During the course of that evening, Tina explained that she was going through a rough patch in her marriage, heading toward divorce, as it turned out. Susan empathized and confessed she was struggling to find the right fit for her career. Both expressed an interest in having a safe and supportive group behind them as they tackled the next steps in their lives. The four agreed to gather the following week and the week after that, until their gatherings evolved into weekly potlucks at Theo and Eve's house. Tina's and Susan's problems didn't last forever, but over the years, the dinners continued. From time to time, the original four friends invited other friends, sometimes to add support, sometimes to receive support, sometimes to add their perspective. There is now a sort of base group of 7 or 8. This group of friends built a kind of safety net, supporting each other through difficult career moves, starting and closing businesses, divorces and marriages, and caring for elderly parents. All of these difficulties have been held gently by the group as they've sorted out issues, clarified values, prioritized steps, and supported one another. To this day, Theo and Eve's no longer new home is the site of these cherished weekly dinners, even when the owners are not home. Starting with a housewarming party, it's matured into a truly warm sort of house of healing where tears and laughter flow.
As you think about forming a CareShare team, consider the relationships in your life. Who will be most supportive in this circumstance? Who is the best networker? Who has creative ideas? Who is dependable? We've found that most teams are formed around the family or the workplace. If you are part of a traditional family, you may choose to include your family members in the CareShare team, or you may not. If you live far away from your family, have only a few living relatives, or are otherwise disconnected from family, then thinking more broadly and inviting a different set of people may prove to be more helpful to you. Throughout this reading, you'll hear many stories of care share teams comprised mostly of family members. But we also recognize that it may be better for you to choose other people to make up your safety net. In the following story, told by a professional care manager, a group of co-workers came together on behalf of their colleague. It could just have well been in a church congregation, school, gym, or neighborhood. Connie's co-workers step in. The director of human resources called me and asked if we could meet. She explained that a manager in her late 30s, Connie, had early onset Alzheimer's disease. Connie had no family nearby, but her colleagues thought the world of her and wanted to help. First, the human resources director and I met with Connie. A few days later, all three of us gathered with interested colleagues to explore how a care share team could benefit Connie. In this meeting, it became evident that Connie had a very best friend, Lisa, who was motivated to play a lead role in creating and maintaining a team. As a professional, I could provide examples and connect Lisa with resources. She willingly became the hub of this team. Lisa and other colleagues provided ongoing care, and they involved Connie in decision-making to the extent possible, as well as supported and nourished the involvement of other friends, a boyfriend, and a distant parent. A few other professionals and I provided emotional and physical care in an arrangement that lasted for over 6 years. We have observed that there is often concern and caring in the workplace when a colleague is ill or has a major life change. Co-workers are often the first to recognize a need. Some work settings are, in turn, more helpful than others in fostering such arrangements. What is often lacking, however, is a leader to guide these well-intended colleagues so that, together, they provide effective care. In the previous example, first the director of human resources and then a paid professional supported Connie's best friend, Lisa, in her role as team leader. Pat Hughes, in Gracious Space, wrote that when people join their gifts together, individuals improve the quality of their relationships, groups learn to value the different talents and perspectives of their members, and whole organizations and communities become continuous learners, applying mutual respect and creativity to some of their most intractable problems. This is exactly what happens when care share teams are thoughtfully created.
Johnny tried to catch a piano. 11-year-old Johnny never questioned whether he could catch the piano as he and Freddie rounded the corner much too quickly and it toppled over. The sound could be heard throughout the community center, and their group's rehearsal for the Christmas play came to an abrupt end. Johnny escaped without permanent injury, but did suffer severely cut fingers and bruises on his hands and one foot. Because he couldn't use crutches without two hands, he needed a wheelchair, which he also couldn't move by himself because of his bandaged hands. Johnny's mom, Susan, a single parent with two younger kids and a full-time job, was overwhelmed. An independent and proud woman, Susan didn't think to ask for help. Luckily, Jody, one of the other mothers involved in the Christmas play, had great people organizing skills, which she applied to her family's community, school, and religious activities. She saw Susan's need, recognized that Susan lacked experience in organizing a team, and realized that Susan would probably never ask for help. Jody asked Susan if she could talk with her. Over a cup of tea, she explained her own experience with organizing people. She gently but firmly insisted that Susan let her set up a team of kids and grown-ups to help the family until Johnny recovered. Jody said she missed working as an organizer, and it would be fun for her, adding, "Please, Susan, let me help." Susan was won over. A group was formed, and Johnny and his family received much-needed support. When Johnny recovered, Susan even hosted a pot lunch to thank all who had helped. Many of the grown-ups were so impressed by what Jody had created that they vowed they would do the same thing if ever there was a need.
Almost anyone who wants to can be part of a care team, if welcomed by the care partner. Intention and commitment are important, as are kindness, flexibility, and the ability to work with others while letting go of control. It's a tall order, but it has been proven that care team participation can include all types of people. Team members will ideally give of what they have, and whatever they bring is sufficient. We do advise you to use caution and trust your intuition, however, in accepting help from a casual acquaintance or someone who isn't well known to someone in your group, perhaps a new neighbor or a person you've recently talked with in your neighborhood park. It's reasonable to be concerned about safety, especially when your care partner is feeling vulnerable. Some CareShare team members we know have gotten background checks from the state police or asked for personal references. If in doubt, take sensible measures to ensure your care partner's security. Who's in and who's out? Tina chose to involve a small, consistent nucleus in her CareShare team. A dear friend, a paid case manager, a family member, and a counselor consultant. At various times, one of Tina's children, several neighbors, a couple of former colleagues, and a church-related contact all participated. Somewhat surprisingly, no other family members, not even Tina's husband, were included. We never knew the reasons for Tina's selection of CareShare team members, but respected and honored her right to exercise preference and control. So whether the safety net is for you or someone you know and care about, if it includes a CareShare team, the crucial element is that it be helpful. It will need a leader and a vision. It will need goodwill and communication. If you think that shaping a CareShare team is absolutely what you need to do, it's time to think it through, which we'll cover in Chapter 2. And consider the people you might want to pull together. More about that in Chapter 3. If this task seems daunting, take heart. You can do it, and do it successfully.
So get ready. Ask yourself, is there someone in my life, maybe me, who needs help? Make a list. What can I do for someone else if I'm asked? Make a list of things you think you might do and note whether these are easy or hard for you. Make another list. Who would I ask if I needed help right now? Do I live in a community where I have strong ties to others? What family help would I want? Start this list. Then decide, could I benefit from thinking more about who I would turn to if I needed help? Or if I don't have strong ties that quickly come to mind, do I know anyone who I think could help me brainstorm ideas? Who? And compile. Gather names and numbers for the legal and financial parts of your life. This part of your safety net can be put into place now and updated every few years.